The X Factor has kind of lost the plot of recent years. Let's get real here. But it all started way back when one man stole the title and won the show, Steve Brookstein. We're going to be chatting with him in a few minutes' time, but just to refresh your memory, right? Last night, I sat at home and I rewatched the final of The X Factor on that very year. And one thing that really pissed me off was Sharon Osbourne. She said this.
No, not fabulous. Listen, everybody knows the way I feel about Steve. I've never been a Steve fan. Steve has a very nice voice. For me, he's not a superstar. And I just have to say this. I am so fed up of Mr. Humble and Mr. Should I sell my Volkswagen? Should I keep it? What he seems, believe me, all that BS that he gives out every week, he's even called Simon. He's full of crap and he's an average singer. Ask everybody else on this contest. He's overly confident.
Thank you, Sharon. Simon.
Who's your one saying thank you?
Kate Thornton.
Kate.
She was the presenter before German. And then Simon dropped her, funny enough.
Yeah, they obviously had a bit of a falling out.
Yeah, Simon's a man I tell you have to watch out for, I reckon. Listen, we're going to be chatting with Steve about that, also about his book. He's got a book coming out. It's called Getting Over the X. The man is definitely worth listening to because I think what Sharon says there is a whole lot of bullshit, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we think that Sharon was a little bit mean back then. You know, there always had to be kind of someone mean. Obviously, Simon was playing good cop there because, you know, remember years ago you had Nasty Nigel and stuff in Pop Idol, and there's always kind of been a bad person. And this year, I think Cheryl Cole, she's been a, I don't want to say it, but see you next Tuesday.
Don't say it. See you next Tuesday. We won't. We'll see you in a few minutes' time. We will have Steve on with us. Here's Max Graham. This is Owner of a Lonely Heart. It's the Crack Die with Ed and Fitzy. Now, this man has caused a bit of a scene, Steve, it's fair to say, since you won the X Factor. You've got a book coming out very soon, Getting Over the X. Steve Brookstein, welcome to the Crack Die.
Good evening.
Steve, I've got to ask, first and foremost, the book. Why did you write it and when's it out?
The book's out on the 21st, this Friday, the 21st of November. Why did I write it? I think I've always been wanting to write it, but it's just the timing that's been difficult. I kind of just found it. I always imagined that it would be one of these books that I write when everything's gone well again, you know, where you kind of over the years you fall out with Simon Cowell and you write a new album, you do this, you do that, and things go well, and before you know it you're back on top and everyone thinks you're great, and then you sit and do your autobiography and talk about your life, and X Factor would be one chapter. Mm-hmm. But kind of things didn't really go to plan. They never do. And it just so happened, I've been putting it on hold, and time goes by, and then all of a sudden Max Clifford gets arrested, and yep, then he goes to prison, and all of a sudden I think, oh blimey, this is a really good chance to kind of, because that's one of the things that held me back, was that the propaganda and the power of people like Max Clifford was so huge.
Yeah,
you know, he's a very persuasive and manipulative person, and you know, he set the stall out as to what happened to me, and the press ran with it, and they've been running with it ever since, and you can't really fight it. You think you can, you think you can do it, and then all of a sudden you just I don't give up, but you go, you know, when the bullies are in the playground, you go into the library and you do your research and you work on other things, and so I've been doing that. My wife's got a jazz album, I've recorded my third album, and it just and I've kind of kept slowly ticking by, and it just seemed like the right time to kind of set the record straight, which I think the book does.
We'll kind of go back a little bit as well. You know, you were, I mean, an original with the X Factor, and I suppose with all of these singing competitions and everything, and I think they've changed an awful lot, and people will probably remember your final performance and some of the negative comments that you got, and you just said it there, that it was bullies in the playground, and you've kind of been kind of doing recon work and kind of settling yourself in, working very hard, keeping the head down, and you're getting opportunity to kind of say, when you think back to those negative comments, how does that make you feel? Was that kind of like a driving force for some of this?
Not really. I found it more intriguing. Not necessarily about what happened on the show, because, you know, I can kind of analyse analyse who all these people are and what their issues are, because generally people do things because they've got something, a problem. I mean, Sharon Osbourne's talking about having depression now for the last 15, 16 years, and, you know, she's obviously got issues there, but at the time, you know, she had other issues. So there's, people act for different reasons, and you can't take everything personally. Generally, they do things to others to make themselves feel better. You know, and so I kind of understood that. So it was more of a case of understanding the propaganda and the PR. I mean, I started looking into it, researching that, and kind of over the last 10 years understanding how that all works and why they you go from smiley Steve or cheeky chappy Steve to bitter Brookstein. So the use of words and. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go and say something and you're quite passionate about it, they call it a rant. If they don't like you, you know, so
yeah.
And it kind of diffuse and deflections and all these sort of techniques that they're doing to move away from the real subjects of truth, which you never get. You know, which I've just had to kind of bide my time and not get too. Hung up on it. I mean, I've used my Twitter account as a kind of a parody of the persona that they like to kind of say that I am, you know, this bitter brute.
Steve, on that note, I have to say that for years I have been following you on Twitter, and I'm actually a fan of you as a person. I think, you know, I think personally, last night I sat at home and I rewatched the Sharon Osbourne attack, and I think she was being a bit of a cunt, to be honest with you, if I can say that, right? She was, and Louis Walsh being a little bitch as well.
Okay, I'm not kind of, but, it's the use of the language.
But I just think she was. No, I'm not her biggest fan, to be fair. But I remember years ago when I was reading your tweets, and I kind of thought, you seem bitter. I thought, this man is just bitter because, in a way, people have said your career has flopped. You know, he's a bitter man, but in all honesty, I think what you speak is a lot of truth. You've got a lot of theories on the show, and I think a lot of them are actually true. And in fact, in 2014, I think the majority of people are now seeing The X Factor for what it really is, and it is a TV show. And I think that's the difference.
Do you know what it is, though, is with the show, is that over the years, they gradually just accept it. You know, they're going to get to the point where they're going to say, well, of course we... There's going to come a point where they say, of course we manipulate it. It's a TV show. We all knew this. But they're only saying that now when they got found out. You know, for years it's suppressed. You know, the first 2-3 years especially it was suppressed, that they wouldn't tell anyone anything. You know, it's a bitter event in people that failed. I mean, I've seen articles, I've still got them actually, just for evidence. You know, for me, you know, you've got to keep stuff because you just don't know when someone's going to throw something in your face and you say, look, here you go, I can show you the evidence. So with Simon Cowell saying that in the Daily Mail, it was, where he kind of said, you think we locked, you know, we force people to do this, we force them to do that. But that's the same, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Max Clifford, but that's the same sort of mentality, where they manipulate things and they put you in situations that you're going along with, and then suddenly the lighting changes and it's not what it seems. And then it's too late, the ball's rolling, you can't get out, and then when you do try and get out, they say the problem is you, not them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of, I find it fascinating, and I get a kind of sort of warped sense of humour out of it, and I kind of enjoy exposing it as well. You know, I don't consider myself bitter, but I can understand why people think I would be.
Yeah.
Well, when you, again, to just talk about, you know, your final performance and the comments that you got from Sharon and Louis afterwards, Simon was standing by you back then, and he was by your side and he was mentoring you, and he turned around and he said, you know, you've got to remember that we have our careers and we are set up, you know, and they were saying that you weren't and that you're working hard. And I think that's what it is, and that's what everyone thought the X Factor was, that, you know, the judges are set up, they're talented, they're, you know,
stop there, don't say that.
Yeah, that's debatable.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, you know, but this
far,
is...
You're going too far. There's actually two things you've picked up on there, but it's quite funny, because the other thing that Simon said at that moment was that he turned around to Sharon and he said, you know what, there's a lot of things I could say, but I won't. No one ever picks up on that.
Yeah.
What? No one ever said, Simon, you said there's a lot of things you could say, but you won't. What things are they?
Exactly.
Is it the fact that Sharon called Stephen effing C in rehearsal, and is it because she was this, she did this and that? Is it, you know, is it because of what happened in your dressing room? You know, there's so many things that he could come up and say. So that's, and with regards to their careers are set up, he's saying that by my side. Since that first series, they don't stand next to them anymore, just in case you fall out. You don't want to have a YouTube clip of Simon hugging somebody he's going to fall out with. So they've kind of knocked that one on the head. They don't want to be seen too close to the artist. The other thing is, when he's going on about being set up, having a career, he don't mention that I'd supported Dionne Warwick, I'd signed artists to major record labels back in 2000. My first record, Judge Jules Record of the Week in 96, signed to MCA. You know, I've had record deals. I know how the business works. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realise was how... I know how the music side of it worked. I didn't know how the propaganda and the PR press side worked. And that was something I learned from The X Factor, which is, you know, wow.
Exactly, it's a big wow. It's almost like the wow factor in the negative sense. I'll tell you what, Steve, we're just going to pause it there for a second. We'll be right back with you in a few minutes' time. I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you as well, because I do find you really fascinating. I'm a fan of The X Factor. I do enjoy the show, but I think I'm slowly beginning to see what it exactly is.
Act I with Ed and Fitzy, and we are joined on the line by Steve Brookstein, and he doesn't need much of an introduction. I think a lot of people will know him, and people are fans of him on Twitter, I think, because of the truth that he comes out with. And he's also got a book coming out, and you've got a CD coming out as well, another album, don't you? A CD? That's a little bit old-fashioned.
Jesus,
isn't it?
We're back to 1994.
You've got a tape cassette coming out, don't you? Sorry about that. You've got an album coming out. Showing my age now, haven't I?
I've got to do a vinyl. I've got an album out. It's kind of an old soul classics type of thing, but with some originals thrown in. But it's the best thing I've done so far. But it'll get better. We got some great music to do. When you first go on a show, I'm the only X Factor winner to do an album of covers. And when I did an interview with a major Daily Mail saying the X Factor's cheesy and it's all a bit karaoke, I did that interview back in 2005.
Yeah.
And straight afterwards, the propaganda machine, the Turnspeak, they pushed it onto me. So I was always referred to cheesy Steve Brookstein or karaoke singer, you know, pub singer. So they used my words against me. But the good thing was that after me, nobody else did karaoke cover albums. You know, they weren't going to be doing that. But unfortunately, for me, it's been a case of reconnecting with the audience. I've had to do some covers, but hopefully I've done the right sort of songs.
But Steve, you mentioned covers there, but they the winners have gone on to do cover albums. I think I'm correct in saying that. Like, look at Sam Bailey of last year. Her album was literally covers. I think there might have been two or three original tracks. But I think that's the curse of the X Factor. It's rushing the album to do an album of covers, and then it's almost like their way of saying, you know what, we promised you an album deal. There it is. Now let's move on to next year. And I think that's kind of the pattern that's happening with the X Factor. You can kind of see it. It's happening almost every year now. I mean, how many winners are still topping the charts? Not many. It almost seems like Simon Cowell handpicks the people that he wants, and whether or not they win, he'll still make a career out of their talents, in inverted commas. But
100%. That is exactly what it is. They would love it that the people they want to win, but unfortunately, the public, they go for the people they want to win.
Okay.
And then, you know, so it is, it's more difficult. I mean, it's a lot easier. You don't want to sell loads of T-shirts and, you know, mugs of me, are you? You know, or Sam Bailey, but you will do of some little boy band. You're going to imagine it now, a T-shirt with my awful face on it.
No.
So they know who they want to win this year, you know.
Can we ask you a few questions on that? Now, will admit to you, I've never really watched The X Factor before, and I have this year because Ed, as he said, is a fan of it and has, you know, watched over the last few years. So I've been watching it because we work together, and
cheers,
he'd be coming in and he'd be talking about it, and I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I've been watching it, and like, we do talk about and dissect it on the show, and I get very angry about it because I think the whole thing is ridiculous, really, you know, and I... like this year as well, and even if you've been watching it, the fact that the judges are just now, they've completely lost their spine or their backbone, and they're going to deadlock every single weekend. You know, they're meant to be judges, they're meant to be mentors, and I don't think you have that at all. Whatever about years ago, you don't have any of that anymore. Like even when Paul Aikster went a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think he was a very talented singer, he was very good, yeah. But you know, there was no kind of camaraderie between his group and his mentor or anything, because when he was asked who he wanted to win, he mentioned a guy that he's obviously friends with, your man Ben Hay now and stuff, or was he told to say that? But what's your views? Because we know you've had a few tweets about this, and you kind of said that Jay James shouldn't have done it, and a few things like that.
No, I mean, Jay James, I mean, he's an example where, if that was me, I would have lost my rag. I would have said to, I would have said, I can't believe that you judges, Cheryl and Mel, are thinking this guy's better than me. Because Stevie Richie is a joke. I'm not being funny, he's the toilet. So you're going to get, you've got Jay James, who then goes, oh yeah, he's such a wuss, sorry, but he goes, afterwards he does an interview and goes, oh yeah, I think the he should have gone through, yeah, that time I went. I'm thinking, he, what?
Yeah, no, it's oh, crazy.
That? No, you're that, why, what?
Steve, but you do know what's going to happen here, because like, I like to think that I'm a bit of I like to have my little theories and I like my predictions, and I did predict, by the way, didn't I?
That. You predicted. He predicted that Paul Aikster was going to go, and last weekend he thought only the young would go.
Yeah.
And
right. I think I've established the top three. Without a doubt, it's going to be Fleur East.
Yeah.
We're also going to have Ben Hay now in there, because he's almost like the people's champion. But what'll happen to Ben Hay now is he could actually win it. But again, he won't succeed, because Fleur is Simon's champion, and Fleur is the girl that will go on to succeed for many reasons. The fact that she auditioned years ago, she made the live shows, it's almost like a success story, and she's come full circle. And I think she will be the ultimate winner of this competition this year.
Yeah, oh yeah, I totally agree. I mean, from the moment, very early on, they started having her name in lights behind her, and the production values for her were much higher than anybody else's. You know, that you knew who they're backing. And even the one bit that made me laugh, I saw in a paper recently where they had an article with Lauren walking out of Greg's, you know, like, you know, eating a pie and with a couple of friends, and it's all a bit, you know, not that great. And then you've got a picture, a nice picture of Fleur East, and this caption underneath is Fleur is talking to fans on her way to the recording studio. And that is what sums it up. You've got poor Lauren, here she is stuffing her face coming out of Greg's, straight off the council estate, you know, there you go, look at this, you know. And then you've got the star talking to her fans. And that sums it up. So you can mug Lauren's getting mugged off. She's going to be she won't make the final. If she gets lucky and something happens with a story that helps her, but otherwise she's going to she's going to struggle.
Amen.
But you're right. It's Ben, Fleur, and you should be on Andrea. Andrea.
He's going to go.
Yeah. See, I think Andre should win, or Andrea. I think he's fantastic.
No, he won't win.
He won't. It'll be only the young.
And even I've got friends who've, I have friends who watch this, and they have never, same as me, I'm inflicting this on like my boyfriend. I've been inflicting it on my parents. Like, I think my whole family are going to divorce me by the end of this. Yeah. And I'll be like, it's Ed's fault. Yeah. But all of them are like, as soon as Andre comes on, they actually like put down the papers or put down whatever they're doing, and they actually listen to him. They think he can sing, and I'm the same. Mm. So, you know.
Listen, Steve, look, we could chat to you literally all night. Unfortunately, we can't. Time has beaten us to it. The book, as we said, it's called Getting Over the X. It's important to say that it's not specifically just about the X Factor. That's correct.
No, it's far from it. It's a lot to it, you know. It's much deeper, and it's a lot darker than people think.
Yeah.
And Steve, very quickly, what's your album called, and what's your wife's jazz album called as well? Because I never knew that she had an album out.
Well, my wife is Eileen Hunter. She's got an album. Her album's called I Miss the Sky. It's a song by Jesse Harris, who wrote a lot for Norah Jones. I don't know why he wrote, but her album's fantastic. I love her album. Got some great musicians playing on it, top people. And my album's called Forgotten Man, which is a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but it's mainly about it's a reference to a song called The Forgotten Man by David Ruffin, who was the lead singer of the Temptations after he'd left the group. So, but I've chosen a few songs from some great soul artists like Felipe Rin of The Spinners, Freddie Scott, James Carr, The Stylistics. There's a few artists that people may have forgotten. So it's a kind of celebration and homage to some great people of the past.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Steve Brookstein, thanks so much for joining us on The Cracked Out tonight. For anybody who wants to follow your journey, they can check out the website, stevebrookstein.com. Also, the book is coming out very soon as well.